bit of my heart. And this is because you know the season that this people are in. And God, I trust you to bring your message directly into our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I've just got to put something on because I'm not fully dressed. So just a minute. And I might need some help. Does anyone know what this is? Sorry, I couldn't hear. It's a life jacket. And maybe it's made for a child. I borrowed it off Sarah and Alex. And I don't know if they're in here, but they probably can't see because I haven't got the camera on. Because they're probably out in the parents' room. But I was hoping it'd be orange, but it's not. Does anyone know what this is for? Saving a life, that would be quite helpful if it's a life jacket. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you just feel like you're drowning? You know, circumstances of life. And the situation that you're in or whatever's coming against you, just you feel like it's going to overwhelm you. If you've been in that situation, I'm sure all of us have been in that situation at some point. We might even be in it right now. And if you haven't been in one, and if you're not in one right now, I can guarantee you will be in one in the future. So you can lean in anyway. I'm going to tell you a story. Now I'll take this off. Because many years ago, and if you know Joshua, you'll know that he's a jack of all trades. And so, you know, he can read a manual and then he does it, except when we're putting in appliances, he doesn't read the manual then. But most things, he reads the manual and then he does it. So we were on holiday in Taupo, and the kids are just little, beautiful day, and my sister and her husband had their little lazy yacht there, and, you know, they were going out in it, and Joshua goes to me, "Hey, hun, let's go out in the laser." And I said, "But you can't sail." He goes, "Yeah, I've been watching. It's easy." Okay, you know, trust. I'm trusting in my husband. And so, yeah, we put on the life jackets, as you do, because Lake Taupo is, you know, not a little stream. It's a huge lake. If you get out there in the middle, it can be quite frightening. So we put on our life jackets and we get on this laser and we're whipping out there, and my husband's the sailor and I'm his, you know, his helping hand, just kind of clinging onto the boat and hope I don't fall off. And I'm quite a strong swimmer and I was always training when I was younger, so I'm a good swimmer. I wasn't too phased. But we get out quite a way out and the wind, you know, does a thing, whatever it does, and the whole boat capsizes, and I go off underneath, and the sail comes down on top of me. And I'm there under the water with my life jacket on, and the sail has filled up with water, and it's holding me. I was stuck between the water and the sail, and it was very heavy, and I actually thought I was going to die. And you know, you want to be mad at your husband when you're drowning, but, you know, you're just like thinking, "Oh, God, I'm going to die. I'm drowning. I'm going to die." And I was so frightened in that moment, and I can still feel that fear that gripped me. I've been caught in the sail because the life jacket had me buoyant. The thing that was meant to be saving my life was actually drowning me. And I'm like, "I am actually going to drown." And I can remember just crying out to God, and somehow I managed to get away from under the sail and come up on the other side. And there's Joshua, you know, getting the boat sorted, and he finally gets it up, and I'm like treading water. And he goes, "Okay, hon, come on." And he goes to grab my hand, and I'm like, "I'm not getting back on that boat." And I swam back to shore. So I'm going to take this life jacket off because it's quite heavy. So I've called this message, I've entitled it, Trust Me. And the me is Jesus. Trust me. I was really trusting in my life jacket, and I was trusting in Joshua's skill level, which actually wasn't there. So I'm going to read a chapter. I've got two stories to read to you. The first one is in Luke chapter 8, and it's in verse 22, and I think we might even have it on the screens in the Living Translation. Maybe not. So one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat, they started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. I never did that actually on the laser. I never settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. And he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him." Okay, so this is a real situation. It's actually happened. And these guys are panicking. Aren't they wusses? I mean, if us girls were out in the boat, we'd be, you know, manicuring our nails and we'd have it all together. But these guys are having a bit of a panic. The boat's filling with water and it's not in their imagination. This is actually happening. So a boat filling with water in the middle of a lake with a storm raging around you, it's not really a good thing, is it? Our son Luke, who's our oldest son, when we lived in a place in Nelson, we were right by an estuary. And I can remember he goes, "Oh, us boys are going to go across to the island." You know, the boys, they like to do adventures, and you know, the island was a few metres across, and they fell out, I don't know, there was probably about 14. And so they march down the road with the kayak, and they put it in the water, and they fill it all up with all their things. But they had to make two trips because there were too many guys for them to put all the gear in and all the guys. So they do two trips. But coming back, they decided, "Hey, we can all get in the kayak with all the gear and we can come back all together." And I don't know what these guys are thinking, they're 14-year-olds. So anyway, they all got in the kayak, got all the gear in, and they're like, "Okay, just careful. And they moved out. And you can imagine what happened. It just sunk lower and lower in the water until the water was coming over the top, and of course, I mean, it was only waist deep, so, you know, they could get out and walk with it across the other side, but they were completely drenched. But these guys here, the water was not waist deep. And I don't know, and I don't think they had life jackets back then. I'm not sure, but I don't think they would have. They may have been able to swim. They really believed that they were going to drown. And so they should. We are going to drown. So, in such a frightening and awful situation, why would Jesus ask them this question? We know where they, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And he says to them, "Where is your faith?" Why would he say that? I mean, come on, Jesus. These guys are going to drown. You know, like, this is a serious situation. Why would he say, "Where is your faith?" I think we've all heard those words at different times, in different circumstances, and we've even said it to ourselves, like, "Oh, I just don't have enough faith. Where's my faith?" Or someone might say to you, you know, if you're sick, "Where's your faith? You know, just believe Jesus will heal you." Or, you know, sometimes we kind of have that terminology. We can feel like we do not have enough faith to get out of the sinking hole we're in, or in the trouble we're in, or in the sickness that's consuming us, or the anxiety that threatens to overwhelm us. We can feel like that. We were just at a church on the Gold Coast recently, and I've never walked out of a church until then. The person that was preaching actually was talking about woman and childbirth and said, you know, if you just have enough, if women just have enough faith, they'll only have an hour of pain. And it's like, it was really weird, it was crazy teaching. And I go to Joshua. You know, and he's like, wait, you know. You know, trying to be polite. But in the end, we actually had an opportunity that we could just slip out. But I was like, basically it was saying, the teaching was, you know, if you have enough faith, you can do this. If you have enough faith, you can do that. Whereas I don't think Jesus was actually saying that when he said, where is your faith? So this is my take on it, and it's just my opinion. Please don't walk out. I really do not think Jesus was putting this question to them in a way that was saying, you do not have enough faith. I think he was asking them, where are you placing your faith? Where are you placing your faith? Like this boat that was now being overwhelmed, it represented their livelihood. You've got to think about this, the culture that they're in. In fact, this represented their entire lives. In those times, one did not just order a boat off the boat building yard, I don't think. I was talking to Joshua about this, and he was trying to describe to me how they built boats, because he's read a manual on it. The fishermen, probably in collaboration with others, would have hewn the timber, they would have lugged and they would have carried, they would have spent long hours getting it built, and they would have, you know, made it real watertight and seaworthy. So this was their livelihood. This is something that they could actually put their trust in. They had faith in their boat. I know this was going to be, this is a good boat. You know, they've made it. They were placing their faith in what they had built. They were putting their trust in their own workmanship, and it was all coming undone. You know, how often do we do this? We work hard to build our lives. We get an education. We save for a rainy day, meet that special someone, get married, get a job, a house, a car, have children. Like, we build a life, don't we? And these are all good. That's not bad. These are all good. This is what we do. But when our trust is in what we have built, when the storms of life hit, that can come undone and we can begin to feel overwhelmed. So Jesus is not saying they did not have enough faith, but in those words he was saying, put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. That's what I believe he was saying. Now, personally for me over the last couple of years, particularly in the last few months, we've had some huge challenges, and we've had some loss, and we've had just some things that have caused me great anxiety. And I've been suffering anxiety for probably a couple of years. And anyone who's experienced or been through anxiety and knows what that's like can empathize with me. But last Friday, you know, I was waking up and I had that familiar feeling hit me of anxiety. And I was like, oh no, there it is again. And I just cried out to God. I was like, oh God, there it is. I don't want to go on, you know, I'd have medication for it. And then I've been down that path. I just want to find a way through this. I'm not saying, I'm not against medication, by the way. That's not about it. I'm just saying this is what I was crying out to God for in this moment. And I was just like, just really putting my heart towards him. And I heard him say to me, very clearly, do you trust me? And it was like, the words were so clear. And, you know, when we're having a storm and it's raging within us or it's raging around us, when we hear God speak to us, it breaks through everything. And it was like in those words, do you trust me? Something happened in my heart. And I thought, do I really trust you, God? Have I been trusting in everything we've built? And if it's all kind of giving me all this anxiety, I'm not really trusting you. And, you know, I'm not saying this is a cliche, do you trust God? It was like God gave me these words and they were directly from heaven, and something changed in my heart. Just something, it's like I had this anchor in my soul. I thought, God, it's you. I need to put my trust in you. Now, the disciples' confession, they were saying, Master, Master, we're drowning. And it revealed right then where their faith was placed. We're drowning. Their confession, we're going to drown. Their boat, their source of livelihood, the familiar thing that they were putting their trust in, it was all that faith was being, it was misplaced. It was in the wrong thing. And they got so used to that that they didn't know that they needed to put their trust in Jesus. So Jesus was trying to help them see that their thinking and their confession was based on fear. He wanted them to think with faith. Jesus was not downplaying their situation. He knew what they were feeling. He knew that they were in a hard place. And he does not do that with us. He doesn't downplay what we're going through. You know, when there's a storm raging, he's not saying, you just haven't got enough faith. He's not downplaying that. But he wants to coach us to take our eyes off what's happening to us and place them on him. The funny thing is that not long after this situation, Jesus actually insists on sending them back in a boat across the lake. And yes, guess what? Into another storm. Why would he do that? I mean, not another painful situation. And I'm going to read to you from Matthew 14, verse 22 to 27. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat. It's like getting back on a horse when you've fallen off, isn't it? Get back in that boat and cross over to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. He said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." So they're in trouble yet again. In a boat yet again. Probably without a life jacket. So this time Jesus is not inside the boat like last time. Last time he was actually right beside them having a nap. This time he's not there. I think he purposely wanted them to experience another storm when they couldn't actually see him. They couldn't reach out and just touch him. Master, Master, you know, wake him up. But Jesus knew their difficulty, and you know what? He was there in an instance, right there. It's the same with us when we're facing a storm. And, you know, sometimes when we're just a young Christian and we're in a difficulty or painful situation, we feel like we can just reach out and touch Jesus. He's right there. As we grow, Jesus kind of withdraws himself a little bit because he wants us to grow and putting our trust and faith in him. But he's there in an instant. He's right there when we call on him. Life has a way of delivering storms, not just once, not twice, but many times. Who knows that? They happen. You know that not all trouble we find ourselves in is bad. It feels really frightening, And perhaps it has got this, like, you know, we get overwhelmed with, there's arguments in the family, there's relationship strain, there's too many bills and there's debts, there's sickness, there's maybe isolation, anxiety. That's just to name a few. You feel like your life is being overwhelmed. In the first storm, Jesus did not tell the disciples to stop bailing. I can imagine, you know, there was water in the boat. And they were like, because this is the thing that they were trusting in. They did not stop carrying on with the thing that they had built. They were still in their circumstance. The difference is when they put their trust in God, the waves and the wind around them calmed down. He removed the storm, but he did not remove them from the water. He did not remove them from the boat that they had built. And he does that with us. He wants us to learn to trust and to lean on him in the midst of our life's situation. And that is the challenge, isn't it? That is the challenge. In the second storm, even though the waves were high and they were being overwhelmed, Jesus came with these words of encouragement. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. You know, in my storm, he came with those words, do you trust me? And he was saying, I am here. Do not be afraid. When you can hear those words intimately and personally in your own life, you will have an incredible change of heart. Out of the storm and trouble, they had an amazing revelation. I'm going to read you this verse a little bit further down in verse 33, $30,000. And just, I know that a revelation has come to him. Wow, God did that. That was God. That was a storm that I was battling in. I reached out and God came through. And you know, we can reach out to God in our storm and we see God come through and it brings a fresh revelation of the Son of God moving on our behalf and working for us in that storm. You really are the Son of God. In the first storm, do you know what they said to Jesus? Well, they said to each other, who is this man? Who is this man? In the second storm, you are the Son of God. Who is this man? You are the Son of God. You know, it might take you one or two or three or four storms before you get your revelation. I've suffered anxiety for so many years. But to get the revelation on that morning, do you trust me? Do you trust me? It was like, oh God, a revelation of the Son of God that brings your heart into worship. To worship him is the greatest thing, because when we are worshiping Jesus and we get this revelation of the Son of God, then the calm, the storm might still be around us, the life situation, but there is a calmness that comes that holds us and keeps us and holds us still. And there is nothing on this earth, absolutely nothing, that can match that. No. Nothing. I want to ask you a question. Is the dilemma of your present circumstance going to be used by God to propel you to your greater destiny? Because all these disciples went on to be world changers. They were used by God to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Do you know that straight after one of those storms, they ended up going into the Gadarenes, and a man who was possessed by a legion of demons was completely set free. Like, you just don't know what is beyond your storm. You don't know what God has got for you just beyond the storm. God used these storms to launch them into something greater. And there is a purpose in the storms if we trust. If we trust God in them. We just got to learn to trust Him. And it might not happen in your first storm or your second storm, but it's going to happen for you. It's going to happen. You know, sometimes we just cannot see the wood for the trees, can we? I have the worship team up, thanks. We just can't, you know, there's so much going on in our storm. The waves are really high and the wind's like battering us and we're so consumed in the storm, we can't see. We can't see the Son of God. We just can't see Him. We know that He's there somewhere, but we just can't see Him. And I just want you to know that He's actually, His hand's reaching out. His hand's reaching out. It's parting the waves and it's moving through the wind and it's reaching out to you right now in your storm. Right now, I want us to, as I close, I want us to stand and worship the Son of God. And if you haven't got your revelation now, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about the storm that you're in. Just think about it for a moment. I don't want you to focus on it because the storm is raging around you and it might be inside of you. But I want you to imagine that Jesus is standing right there. And I want you to welcome Him into your storm, into your heart, and say, Jesus, I've been placing my faith and my trust in the storm that's raging around me and that's coming against me. But right now I want to welcome you in and I want to worship you, the Son of God, Jesus, the Christ, the living God. So, you know, just as we stand and really just worship Him, take a hold of Him, just love on Him. So we're gonna sing that new song that we first sang, is that right? I'd be awesome. Let's all stand together. He's not going to let you down. He's right here for you. Just everyone stay in. Just stay in at the moment and just kind of just focus in. This is quite an important moment. We can wait for our cup of tea. We're just going to just really enter in and worship the Son of God, okay? Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Your love.